Animals Today Radio is made possible in part by a generous grant from International Society for Animal Rights, ISARonline.org.
Welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Peter Spiegel. In the 2008 running of the Kentucky Derby, just after crossing the wire in second place, and as she was being slowed down, Thoroughbred Eight Bells collapsed onto the ground. She had compound fractures in both front legs and was euthanized right there on the track. Washington Post sports writer Sally Jenkins wrote about Eight Bells, saying that she ran with the heart of a locomotive on champagne glass ankles, meaning that thoroughbred horses had become too strong and heavy, but with legs too flimsy to support them. What has happened to the thoroughbred racing industry since that shocking event in 2008? One would hope things for horses would improve since then, but I believe today we are going to discover that, unfortunately, they are not much better. I'm pleased to welcome Joanne Normeil, co-founder and president of Saving Baby Equine Charity. Saving Baby Equine Charity is dedicated to protecting horses, ponies, mules, and donkeys from slaughter, abuse, and neglect, promoting change through public awareness and education, rescuing these animals in emergency situations, and providing financial assistance to approved organizations that rescue them from slaughter, abuse, or neglect in order to help as many as possible. Joanne is also principal of Normeil Racehorse Protection Consulting and advises senators, congressmen, filmmakers, legal firms, journalists, individuals, rescue and humane organizations on all aspects of racing pertaining to the welfare of the thoroughbred racehorse and the integrity of the industry. Her book is titled Saving Baby, How One Woman's Love for a Racehorse Led to Her Redemption. Welcome, Joanne.
Well, thank you, Peter, for the invite.
Joanne, what was your personal recollection and reaction to the death of Eight Bells?
That was the most horrific thing I had ever witnessed on television, right before 15 million viewers. They watched a magnificent being be whipped around the track, cross the finish line, and shatter both front ankles with her face in the dirt. She was struggling to rise, and she could not even get up. They ran out to her, and they were trying to keep her down so that she wouldn't keep struggling to rise on those shattered ankles until they got the screen around her and hid her from view. But that view is one that many people today still keep in their mind, and they should, because that is what happens to many racehorses, but they just aren't on television.
The Kentucky Derby is called by some the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. Not a sentiment I share, but that's what some people call it. Is the Kentucky Derby representative, or what of other horse racing? What does it have to do with the rest of the industry?
Well, clarity first, as far as the reference to people commonly saying that the Kentucky Derby is the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. The error there is that racing is not a sport. Unlike other equine disciplines, racing has never been in the modern Olympics. Racing is a $40 billion gambling industry. True sports, they will be able to sustain themselves by spectators willing to pay to see the event, not racing. Racing only exists because of the gambling component.
So gambling and the money that flows and the relationship to animals, it doesn't usually go well for the animals.
Absolutely. Money and animals do not mix. If you just think for a moment about other activities that involve money being made off of animals, such as greyhound dog racing, cockfighting, dog fighting. Gambling is involved in all of those, and the animals suffer. Any animal lover, anyone with a conscience, knows that those things are wrong. And the racing has been able to place this aura of celebrity status and the beautiful people. You watch it on television one day a year, maybe the Triple Crown races, and you think all of racing is as beautiful as what you're seeing on television. That's the glamorous side that racing wants you to see. The wealthy people, the beautiful hats, sipping their mint juleps, a horse covered with red roses, and a wealthy owner getting a trophy and everybody smiling. But that is one television scene of one race. There are up to 100 racetracks around this country that you do not see on television intentionally. The horses there are treated like old dice or a worn deck of cards at a casino. They are disposable. In fact, many of the horses who race on television do end up at those tracks. Only one horse wins the race. What about the others? And what about even the winner? If they keep racing, eventually they receive injuries. They rarely retire totally sound. And once they have an injury, they cannot compete at that top level of grade one stakes races that you see on television. And they start to fall down to lower and lower levels of racing with slower horses that also have injuries, so they're running slower until they finally migrate down to the very cheap bottom level tracks.
That's shocking to know that that's the progression of horses racing at the top level. One might think that they just retire and spend the rest of their days grazing happily.
One would think that, especially a horse that's maybe won $500,000 for its connections. But repeatedly, these horses are found in slaughter kill pens, or they're found running where they used to once be on television. Now they're running in a very cheap $3,000 claiming race, and they're lagging behind at 30, 40, 50 lengths behind.
Wow.
And yet they're still being whipped and forced to race. Very few, a very small minority of the tens of thousands of horses that are racing every year ever end up in what people think of as, oh, this beautiful barn, and they just get to breed mares, and the mares just get to have foals, and out in these wonderful rolling pastures that you see in Lexington or other areas that have the beautiful horse farms. That is just the same as the Kentucky Derby. It's just a little portion. You're peeping through a tiny hole instead of opening the barn door.
We're speaking with Joanne Normile. She's co-founder and president of Saving Baby Equine Charity, dedicated to protecting horses, ponies, mules, and donkeys from slaughter, abuse, and neglect. We're talking about the horse racing industry. And after the break, we will continue our discussion. There's a lot more that we all need to know. You're listening to Animals Today.
Hi, it's Dr. Lori, and thank you for listening to Animals Today and for caring about the welfare and rights of non-human animals like we do. Did you know that Animals Today is now in its 7th consecutive year of weekly broadcast? You can listen to our prior shows by going to animalstodayradio.com, where you will find episodes covering a wide variety of issues concerning companion animals, animals in the wild, and animals in agriculture. Some recent topics we have covered include the cruelty of the racehorse industry, hidden risks at dog parks, wildlife killing contests, stress, doggy dementia, and giraffe conservation. Truly, if it has anything to do with animal advocacy around the world, you will find it on Animals Today. So go to animalstodayradio.com. Animals Today is a project of the nonprofit group Advancing the Interests of Animals. Check them out at aianimals.org. And please consider supporting Advancing the Interests of Animals to help keep Animals Today on the air. That website again is aianimals.org. Hi, this is Dr. Lori Kirshner, and I want to thank you for listening to Animals Today. Make sure to visit us on animalstodayradio.com, where you will see all our previous shows and where you can download them free. That's animalstodayradio.com, or you can listen on iTunes. Also, make sure to like us on Facebook and join the discussion. Animals Today gets a lot of its support from the nonprofit group Advancing the Interests of Animals. Please visit them at aianimals.org. That's aianimals.org. And I hope you'll consider making a donation to help pay for the ongoing broadcast of Animals Today. Each week on Animals Today, we strive to bring you the highest quality, most up-to-date information about all animals, how we treat them, and their place in society, while promoting greater respect and kindness towards them. So thanks for your support. That website again is aianimals.org. And thanks for listening.
Attention invention and gadget lovers. Join our invention testing club called the Da Vinci Club. Every month, we're going to send you a brand new gadget, a brand new invention, things that are not on the market before, and you fill out a couple questions, and you get to keep the invention. Maybe the invention's the new octa-core tablet that's coming up. Maybe it's the new garlic cutter. Every single month, you'll get a brand new invention, and the value could be several hundred dollars or $20, $30. Every month, it's different, but we need your evaluation. And it only costs $20 a month. Call 1-888-877-0490. That's 1-888-877-0490. Or go to mycoolinventions.com. It's mycoolinventions.com. How about that? A brand new invention every single month. Innovative technology nobody's ever seen before. You get to see it first. All you have to do is answer a few questions. Call 1-888-877-0490. Here's the problem. You have a vacuum cleaner that sucks up dirt and dust and does nothing else? How about a vacuum cleaner that has a UV bulb in it that kills dust mites and bacteria and viruses and all those creepy crawly things that are running around? Maybe it's on your bed, maybe it's on your sofa, on your pillows, on your carpets. Well, introducing the UV Healthy Living Vac. This is a vacuum cleaner that has a stem to stern UV bulb in it, the power to kill bacteria and viruses right there. So use it like a regular vacuum cleaner, except now you know you're killing bacteria, dust mites, viruses, bacteria, anything that's gone on the floor there, those things are being killed. A UV vac is the next generation of vacuum cleaners. Now, if you've got a bed, you know that if you've got a bed that's older than 8 years old, the chances are that bed could weigh twice what it did when it was brand new. What's all the weight? Well, you don't want to know. Stuff like dust mite feces and things like that, because we don't have an appliance in the house to clean up your mattresses and pillows and sofas. The UV Healthy Living Vac is a fantastic appliance for just that reason. Go on there, get rid of the dust mites, the bed bugs with the UV Healthy Living Vac. How much do they cost? This vacuum cleaner normally costs $299. But for the first 30 people on the deal of the week, you can get it for $59.99. You heard me right, $59.99, brand new in a box. Call 1-888-877-0490. 1-888-877-0490. That's 1-888-877-0490. Or check it out at mycoolgadgets.com. That's mycoolgadgets.com. Imagine the power of a vacuum cleaner with a HEPA filter in it. You can use it on the floors. You can pick it up, use it on a bed, use it on a sofa, but it's got the killing power of UV lamp built right in. That UV lamp will kill bacteria, dust mites, bed bugs, all those nasty, creepy, crawly things. $59.99 for the first 30 people. Call 1-888-877-0490 or go to mycoolgadgets.com.
You're listening to America's Talk Radio Network, where America talks.
Welcome back to Animals Today. We're speaking with Joanne Normile from Saving Baby Equine Charity. Joanne, so what happens to the horses at the end of their career? They're at these low-level, cruddy tracks, and there's just nothing left of them. What happens?
The next stop is a slaughterhouse, and they make their way through the slaughter pipeline a couple of different ways. At some racetracks, the trainers themselves are also what are called the kill buyers, and they go around picking up these horses for $50, $100, and take a load to a livestock auction. Other times, the kill buyers are outside of the industry, and they are allowed on the restricted area of the backside to purchase horses that trainers are done with. And slaughter is an economic necessity to horse racing. In thoroughbred racing, the horses are housed right at the racetrack. So you might have 1,200 horses back there in stalls. And when a horse is injured or it's too slow and it can't make money, it has to get out of that stall. And horse slaughter and the meat buyers make this happen. They make it happen quickly. The horse is gone, out of sight, everybody makes some money, and another horse is brought in from the farm that can run. So these poor beings at the bottom of their racing career, that usually is quite short. You know, the average probably racehorse might end its career at 4 or 5 when a horse lives into its 20s. They're sold for pennies on the pound, a couple $100s, not even the price of some of those custom-made hats that you will see on TV. These horses are sent then from the livestock auction after being purchased by meat buyers to Canada and Mexico, where there are horse slaughterhouses.
So you mentioned, well, first of all, the terminology is so sickening, and then you mentioned the meat. So you've got horses not raised to be in agriculture now being turned into meat, not in the U.S. but abroad. So talk a little bit about the horse meat industry. Who are the consumers and what are they getting?
Well, some 15,000 to 20,000 thoroughbred racehorses are sent to slaughter every single year. If you just think about that number for a moment, many of these horses have injuries and they're sore and they're in pain, or else they're simply too slow. But they are a burden to the industry, and they need to get out of those stalls. So these meat horses are made to stand in trailers that are meant for cattle and hogs with their heads bent low and spend a very painful journey to the slaughterhouse. And no one's immune. Kentucky Derby winner Ferdinand died in a Japanese slaughterhouse.
Incredible.
But why do they get slaughtered in the first place? You asked, Peter. They are sold for human consumption. They are sold to be slaughtered and butchered for meat for human consumption in countries where horse meat is allowed: France, Belgium, Japan, Quebec province in Canada, and a number of other countries. But these countries aren't being told that these are drug-filled horses that are coming from the United States that were not raised as food animals. Horses are not considered food animals in our country, and that's why they can be given a plethora of drugs, because they are not a food animal. Horse meat is not considered food here. And over there, it's not being fed to the hungry either. We're not feeding starving children here. This horse meat ends up in white tablecloth restaurants and fancy butcher shops. Except there was a huge scandal just in 2013 that rocked Europe. It was discovered by Irish food inspectors that horse meat was being found in beef sold to supermarket chains. And these included some of the biggest suppliers in Europe that were selling to the grocery stores, including Tesco and Aldi. Even meat from Taco Bell, Burger King, and the IKEA meatballs were found to contain horse DNA. And it was simply because they were padding the beef with the horse meat to make it go further. Now, we just cannot let that happen here. If we had slaughterhouses in this country, it very well could be. And there's a saying in the racing industry, stable to table in 7 days.
Oh, how horrible.
However, that's not the only way that racehorses die. Other ways that horses on the track will die is each week in morning training or during a race. Dozens of horses die from their injuries similar to eight bells.
Yeah.
Dr. Rick Arthur, the equine medical director for the California Horse Racing Board, has stated, quote, "It's hard to justify how many horses we go through. In humans, you never see someone snap their leg off running in the Olympics, but you see it in horse racing." Close quote.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's not just their deaths that are so horrific. It's their entire lives before they die. Racehorses are forced to stand alone in their stalls. I remember there's maybe 1,200 horses at the back of a track in the stable area. They stand in those stalls for 23 hours a day as part of their training regimen. There's no turnout. These are social, herd-bound animals who would normally spend up to 18 hours a day grazing and keeping each other company in a herd. They are gentle.
Yeah.
They are distinct in their personalities, just like dogs are. Some are very shy. Some are smart. There's the little goofball. There's the escape artist from his stall. Some are very regal. But the fact is that they are sentient beings, and they do not deserve to be whipped and raced as fast as they can until their lungs are bursting and bleeding. Animal behaviorist Desmond Morris likened the whip that is used in racing to the bite of a predator chasing them. Horses are prey animals. They run from danger. They don't want to be in any trouble. They want to stay with the herd. There is protection in the herd. That's a natural instinct. And when they feel that whip, they are in terror. They are running from danger. American Feral was the horse that just won the Kentucky Derby the beginning of May, and then he won the Preakness this year. He was flogged 32 times with the whip in his Kentucky Derby stretch drive to get to the finish line. There were 12 veterinarians on site, and not one of them found that to be a problem.
Yeah.
Now, imagine the public reaction if the American Kennel Club was on television for one of their events and they allowed the dog trainers to carry whips into the show ring so the dogs could be beat if they didn't make the correct stance or prance in a certain way. We would object to that. We would not allow it.
We'll continue our discussion with Joanne Normile after the break. This is Peter Spiegel. You're listening to Animals Today.
Here's the problem. Do you have a vacuum cleaner that sucks up dirt and dust and does nothing else? How about a vacuum cleaner that has a UV bulb in it that kills dust mites and bacteria and viruses and all those creepy crawly things that are running around? Maybe it's on your bed, maybe it's on your sofa, on your pillows, on your carpets. Well, introducing the UV Healthy Living Vac. This is a vacuum cleaner that has a stem to stern UV bulb in it, the power to kill bacteria and viruses right there. So use it like a regular vacuum cleaner, except now you know you're killing bacteria, dust mites, viruses, bacteria, anything that's gone on the floor there, those things are being killed. A UV vac is the next generation of vacuum cleaners. Now, if you've got a bed, you know that if you've got a bed that's older than 8 years old, the chances are that bed could weigh twice what it did when it was brand new. What's all the weight? Well, you don't want to know. Stuff like dust mite feces and things like that, because we don't have an appliance in the house to clean up your mattresses and pillows and sofas. The UV Healthy Living Vac is a fantastic appliance for just that reason. Go on there, get rid of the dust mites, the bed bugs with the UV Healthy Living Vac. How much do they cost? This vacuum cleaner normally costs $299. But for the first 30 people on the deal of the week, you can get it for $59.99. You heard me right, $59.99, brand new in a box. Call 1-888-877-0490. That's 1-888-877-0490. Or check it out at mycoolgadgets.com. That's mycoolgadgets.com. Imagine the power of vacuum cleaner with a HEPA filter in it. You can use it on the floors. You can pick it up, use it on a bed, use it on a sofa, but it's got the killing power of UV lamp built right in. That UV lamp will kill bacteria, dust mites, bed bugs, all those nasty, creepy, crawly things. $59.99 for the first 30 people. Call 1-888-877-0490 or go to mycoolgadgets.com.
Do you got any ideas?
I have a great idea.
Pitch it to me.
Hey, I got an idea.
Well, let's hear it.
Successful businesses start with great ideas and cool inventions. Hi, everybody. I'm John Cremins, the Doctor of Shopology. Join me and ACOS, the Solutionist, on My Cool Inventions every week. We continue our ongoing search for America's top invention. You can be the next one. Together, both ACOS and myself provide over 60 years of experience in the industry of inventing products and presenting them on shopping channels worldwide. Every show, we give our advice on how to successfully produce your product. Along with great information and featured industry guests, you'll also get a chance to listen to the inventors of some of the coolest inventions and vote on which projects you like. You be the shark. Now, if you have a $1 million idea in your head, submit it to us, and you can be selected to be on our show for your chance to be voted America's top invention. It's true reality radio, where you decide and regular American families like yours are lifted one innovation, one inventor, one American at a time.
Attention invention and gadget lovers. Join our invention testing club called the Da Vinci Club. Every month, we're going to send you a brand new gadget, a brand new invention, things that are not on the market before, and you fill out a couple questions, and you get to keep the invention. Maybe the invention's the new octa-core tablet that's coming up. Maybe it's the new garlic cutter. Every single month, you'll get a brand new invention, and the value could be several $100s or $20, $30. Every month it's different, but we need your evaluation. And it only costs $20 a month. Call 1-888-877-0490. That's 1-888-877-0490. Or go to mycoolinventions.com. It's mycoolinventions.com. How about that? A brand new invention every single month. Innovative technology nobody's ever seen before. You get to see it first. All you have to do is answer a few questions. Call 1-888-877-0490.
You're listening to America's Talk Radio Network, where America talks.
Welcome back to Animals Today. We're speaking with Joanne Normile. And Joanne, finish your thought about the whip.
Well, what's interesting, Peter, is that research, peer-reviewed research, has shown that horses that are whipped do not run faster. And in some countries, a whip is only allowed to be used in the event the horse were to veer. It is never allowed to be used on the horse to encourage it to go faster. But yet, why do we sit here and cheer while these exhausted horses are being whipped to perform?
Boy, it's upsetting just to observe for me.
Yes.
So I want to move on to the use of drugs in American horse racing. How prevalent is it? What's allowed? What does it do to the horses?
Well, although race day medication is banned in other countries, here in the United States, nearly every horse is given race day medication, in addition to medication throughout their training. So that also includes being allowed to be given an unlimited amount of corticosteroid injections into fractured joints, torn ligaments, tendons, in addition to a plethora of other drugs, both legal and illegal. These drugs mask their pain, but they only make their injuries worse. The drugs allow them to continue to be forced to run. I mean, imagine a quarterback having to throw despite a severely disabled shoulder, or a tennis player having to run back and forth across the court with a torn meniscus.
Yeah.
They're on medication. They are continuing to cause damage, which then causes them to have more medication and another joint injection, and till they finally break down. Research, and this is racing industry research, has shown that up to 90% of the horses that suffered catastrophic injuries had pre-existing conditions. These horses should never have been allowed to be raced, much less whipped.
Who's looking?
Of course, in shooting up horses with drugs, we're then selling tainted meat to these other countries.
Yeah.
Some of the drugs given to horses, they don't leave their systems by the time they reach someone's plate. And they're known as human carcinogens. One of these is phenobutazone, known by the word bute. It is a very strong prescription pain reliever, but it is so commonly given that it's known as horse aspirin.
Yeah.
But it is not like aspirin. It is a prescription pain drug. No food animal in our country is allowed to be given bute even once in its entire life and ever enter our food chain. The danger is that great. Yet our racehorses are given this drug routinely, sometimes daily, and transported across our borders for human consumption. It's unconscionable that we would do this as a society. Not only do this to our horses, but be so uncaring about what we're doing in sending this tainted meat to other countries.
Joanne, what oversight is there in the whole industry, and are the horses looked out for in to any degree?
Well, if we remember that racing is not a sport, so there's no football, there's no, you know, in football we have a commissioner, in baseball there's a commissioner. All of your true sports do have oversight. But racing, again, it is not a sport. It is a gambling industry with a very powerful lobby in Washington. So there is no national racing commissioner, as there is for other sports. Rules in racing really amount to suggestions, and they differ from racetrack to racetrack across our country. Enforcement is lax, and that's legal. Imagine a casino where the house would get away with using marked cards and loaded dice. That's horse racing. The public doesn't know which horse is getting injections into fractured joints and torn ligaments or other performance-enhancing drugs. They're, in effect, watching fixed races, where only those on the backstretch understand that it's not a level playing field. The entire thing is unregulated. In fact, racing is the only unregulated gambling industry. If a trainer gets caught having given a winning horse a performance-enhancing drug that is over the allowable limit for a legal drug, or perhaps he gave it cocaine or Viagra or some illegal drug that shouldn't be in the system at all, and that horse gets disqualified, and that means it loses the purse, and the second-place horse now moves up and is the winner. Well, whoever bet on the second-place horse, you're out of luck. Nobody comes back to you and says, hey, you should have won that. That horse got disqualified, and we owe you money. Sorry.
Right.
That incident just goes away.
Yeah.
And, in fact, most bettors, they have no idea that that happened weeks later and that they've been duped.
Joanne, tell us a little bit about your personal history in horse racing and your interest in helping horses.
Well, I was a thoroughbred breeder and ultimately then took the two of those horses to the racetrack. And the racetrack was just 13 minutes from my house, so I was there every day. I became very, very active in racing, but the more active I became, the more I really saw what was going on. And I finally could bear it no longer and got out of racing and started the very first rescue in the country that rescued thoroughbred racehorses right out of their stalls, right at the track. And that was unique, and it was my way of giving back for having supported something that was just so so cruel.
And what did you see that made you start wondering that it wasn't a wholesome thing?
The age that you know, the horses really were asked to do, you know, taken into training at 18 months of age when a horse isn't mature until they're 5 or 6, and racing by the time they're 2,
yeah,
on a skeleton that's not fully developed and they're still growing. And it would be like sending your preschooler out to play tackle football. That was one thing that I just saw. These young horses cannot handle this, neither mentally or physically. Mm. And the use of the whip is much more severe in morning training than it is during the race.
Oh, interesting.
Because that's training period. That's when the horses are trying to learn. And I saw horses with bleeding welts on their sides. And you have the majority of people involved in making money off of horses from gambling. They care more about the money than the horse. The horse is disposable. And that was just not me.
Yes. What can people do to help horses?
Well, I think the first thing that people could do would be to simply be aware, to understand that what goes on is far more than what they see in the Derby. That's looking through a small peephole at horse racing. And then you really need to open up the barn doors and learn what really is going on in this $40 billion industry. And they need to learn about the brutal deaths of the slaughterhouses and try to put an end to the transport of our horses across borders. And they need to then inform their friends who still think it's okay to have a Kentucky Derby party, and let other people know what they've learned, share the knowledge. Somebody that's informed will know to demand change. Change is never going to happen if people don't even know they need to make change. And right now, it's very timely. If people would like to go a step further instead of just being educated, on April 30th of this year, two bills were introduced into Congress Senate Bill 1174 by Senator Tom Udall of New Mexico, entered a bill named after a young two-year-old racehorse that dropped dead after crossing the finish line.
Yep.
Teller All Gone, Deregulation Act of 2015. And at the same time, Representative Joe Pitts of Pennsylvania introduced a bill called the Coronado Heights Deregulation Act of 2015. In poor Coronado Heights, that horse received 17 injections in the week prior to breaking down in its race. I would encourage those who wish to make a difference to contact their senators and representatives and ask them to sign on as a co-sponsor to one of those bills. And people can also learn many of these things and much more than what we've talked about today through my true love story about my horse, my racehorse, Baby, in my memoir, Saving Baby, and it was named after him.
Joanne Normile, co-founder and president of Saving Baby Equine Charity, thank you very much for sharing this information, this very important information, with us on Animals Today.
Thank you very much, Peter. I enjoyed being able to speak to you.
Here's the problem. Nail polish, hair dye, graffiti, tar. How do you get those stains out? Use Stains Are Out. Any stain, anywhere. Nail polish, oil, lipstick, pet stains, old stains, any stains. This will get your stain out. In fact, if it doesn't get your stain out, we'll buy the bottle back from you. Made with natural banana oil. Oil from the skin of a banana. Biodegradable and organic. Stains Are Out is the solution. Pour it on and get your stain out. Normally, bottle of Stains Are Out sells for $29.99. Hyper-concentrated, each bottle will make 16 bottles of stain remover. $29.99 for 16 bottles of dilution. And here's the deal. If you buy a bottle of Stains Are Out right now, we'll give you three bottles. That's 48 bottles worth. That's the deal. Buy one, get three bottles for $29.99. Call 1-888-877-0490 or go to mycoolgadgets.com.
It's storm season. Bad weather is fast approaching, and if your power goes out, you'll need a strong flashlight. And that's where the Blackout Buddy emergency flashlight begins. You'll have a powerful LED flashlight right at your fingertips when the power goes out. Now, normally, a Blackout Buddy emergency flashlight retails for $24.99. We have a special offer today. If you call right now, 1-888-877-0490, that's 1-888-877-0490, you can get two of the Blackout Buddy emergency flashlights for only $24.99. But you have to call now. Call 1-888-877-0490. When the power goes out, the Blackout Buddy comes on. It plugs directly into your wall socket for constant charging. And when the lights go out, boom, you have super bright LED lights lighting the way. Call right now. Call 1-888-877-0490. You don't get one, you get two for just $24.99. But call right now or go to mycoolgadgets.com. That's mycoolgadgets.com.
This is Dave Shistokas with some very important information for business owners and nonprofit managers in the U.S. Gulf Coast area. Were you in operation at the time of the BP oil spill in April 2010? There's a very short period until June 8th to file a claim in the BP settlement. There are misunderstandings about the settlement. Organizations located well inland, unrelated to tourism or hospitality, are eligible, and there's no need to show that the oil spill was related to their damages. There's no dollar limits on claims to be paid under the settlement. BP is legally bound to pay all valid claims. Call me, Dave Shistokas, for a free evaluation of your potential claim at 312-451-5550. Any claim not filed by June 8th will be gone forever. There's no cost to find out about your eligibility at 312-451-5550 or visit shistokas.com for more. It's S-H-E-S-T-O-K-A-S.com. It takes time to properly prepare a claim, so quick action is critical.
Attention, invention and gadget lovers. Join our invention testing club called the Da Vinci Club. Every month, we're going to send you a brand new gadget, a brand new invention, things that are not on the market before, and you fill out a couple questions, and you get to keep the invention. Maybe the invention's the new octa-core tablet that's coming up. Maybe it's the new garlic cutter. Every single month, you'll get a brand new invention, and the value could be several $100 or $20, $30. Every month it's different, but we need your evaluation. And it only costs $20 a month. Call 1-888-877-0490. That's 1-888-877-0490. Or go to mycoolinventions.com. It's mycoolinventions.com. How about that? A brand new invention every single month. Innovative technology nobody's ever seen before. You get to see it first. All you have to do is answer a few questions. Call 1-888-877-0490.
You're listening to America's Talk Radio Network, where America talks.
Historical milestone for you now. 8 years ago this May, the last horse slaughterhouse in the United States was closed. The plant was located in DeKalb, Illinois, and was at one point responsible for slaughtering 40 to 60,000 horses a year. The ban on slaughtering horses for meat in Illinois was signed by Governor Rod Blagojevich on May 24, 2007. The slaughterhouse tried to contest the ruling, but their appeal was unanimously rejected, forcing closure of the plant. Cavill, the last horse slaughterhouse, opened in 1987, had over 50 employees, and produced around $30 million a year through foreign trade because consumption of horse meat is banned in the United States. It was a pretty good business as owners of horse slaughterhouses didn't have to pay export taxes and paid very little in income taxes. But not surprisingly, these horse slaughterhouses were proven to be environmentally hazardous as well as burdens on the economy. Unfortunately, closing the slaughterhouses in the United States does not go nearly far enough to help the horses. Still, American horses are routinely shipped across the border to Canada or Mexico to be slaughtered there. Some animal rights activists believe it would be more humane to reopen slaughterhouses in order to avoid the horrifically cruel journey the horses endure as they get transported across the borders. They may travel 24 hours or more without food and water. And if that weren't enough, these helpless animals often are not afforded quick and painless deaths. They may suffer excruciating beatings to unconsciousness before killing them, but may even be conscious when killed. However, keeping the American slaughterhouses open really wouldn't help the horses that are transported across the border, as that practice was in place even when the American slaughterhouses were in operation. Also, it's interesting that horse slaughter was ever permitted in the United States, since so many Americans strongly oppose consumption of horses, and considered horses to be in the special treasured pet categories of animals, like dogs and cats. So in general, in the United States, eating the meat of horse is regarded as disgusting and taboo, whereas beef is perfectly acceptable. Weird how these things work out. Better just not to have any of them, right? So, as I have often stated, we have a lot of work to do on behalf of the horses, and indeed all animals. But 7 years ago this month, horses enjoyed a victory when their domestic slaughter for consumption was finally ended in the United States. Okay, everybody, the hot weather's coming. I want to play for you now a story from a few years ago.
Then I started to think about the time when I was with a friend at a shopping mall. True story here. And some of you living here in Palm Springs for several years may have heard about this one. My friend and I came across a dog left in a car in the middle of the summer here in Palm Springs. And those of you who know, who live here in the Coachella Valley, know how hot it gets here in the summertime. I mean, it must have been 110 that day. And unless you're really an idiot, then you know that you can't leave your dog in the car on a hot day. Actually, it's illegal to leave your dog in a car in Palm Springs any time of year because of the unexpected and big swings of temperatures. But anyways, here it is, 110 degrees, and there's a dog in the car. The windows are barely cracked, and we all know that does a lot of good, right? On a hot day, you might as well leave the windows all the way up. So one of us, and I'm not going to admit which one on the air, but maybe some of the listeners that know me can guess which one. One of us broke the car window with a special device one of us has in the trunk of our car. Now, don't worry. This is a really good ending. People who know me know that I don't often tell or like to hear animal stories with bad or sad endings. As we broke the window of the car. We grab this heat-stricken, almost dead dog from the car. Out comes the guy who owns the car and owns the dog, okay? Remember, great ending for the dog, although he was hospitalized for dehydration with heat stroke and actually almost did die. At this moment that I'm speaking right now, he's healthy, happy as a lark right now in his new wonderful home. But my point is, this guy could not care less about the dog. He did not say one word about us taking his dog. I mean, it's incredible. If you saw someone snatching your dog, wouldn't you say or do something about the dog? Okay? He didn't. However, he did try to get the police to charge us for vandalizing his car, which we were guilty of, but we weren't charged. But wait, it gets better. And this is actually the funny part. The guy was so pissed off that we broke his car window that he started screaming at us, calling us nasty names that I can't really say on the air here, but saying what a horrible thing we did by breaking his car window, and he's going to sue our big fat, you know what, and trying to draw attention so people will be mad at us and side with him as we're running away with his dog. So now there's this huge guy watching this entire event, as it did draw quite an audience. This guy must have weighed 300 pounds and sort of the tough-looking type. You know, he had a couple tattoos on his arms and neck and earrings in his face and his body hair poking out of his tank top. This guy calmly goes right up to the guy screaming at us and calling us nasty names. He bends down, pulls something out of his pant pocket, and slashes the guy's back tire, and then turns to us with this big, beautiful smile on his face and gives us the thumbs up sign, and then he calmly walks away. True story.
Hi, this is Dr. Lori Kirshner, and I want to thank you for listening to Animals Today. Make sure to visit us on animalstodayradio.com, where you will see all our previous shows and where you can download them free. That's animalstodayradio.com, or you can listen on iTunes. Also, make sure to like us on Facebook and join the discussion. Animals Today gets a lot of its support from the nonprofit group Advancing the Interests of Animals. Please visit them at aianimals.org. That's aianimals.org. And I hope you'll consider making a donation to help pay for the ongoing broadcast of Animals Today. Each week on Animals Today, we strive to bring you the highest quality, most up-to-date information about all animals, how we treat them, and their place in society, while promoting greater respect and kindness towards them. So thanks for your support. That website again is aianimals.org, and thanks for listening. Animals Today Radio is made possible in part by a generous grant from International Society for Animal Rights, ISARonline.org.